Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Overeaters Anonymous, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, July 18, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 33, the first paragraph. This case contains a powerful lesson, ending in that someday we will be immune to alcohol. Just unpacking that one paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank you everyone for Thursday's service for this month, Katie G., Joni Y., Reva P., Steps, Joni C., Traditions, Laura M., newcomer greeters, Susan S.H., and the host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Eileen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, July 17th, 7 a.m., 21,581. That's 21581. And the 10 a.m. one, 21,500. And you guessed it, 82. That's 21582. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. Yes, can recover. Through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Joni C. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured, from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as the program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Joni C. I will now ask for Laura M. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Laura.
Hi, everybody. This is Laura M., recovering compulsive eater in Northwest Florida. And these are OA's 12 traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, TV, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for yours. Thank you so much, Laura M. Okay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time, or you'll hear the beeper in the background. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 33. The first paragraph, and I'm going to ask Katie G. to get us started. Go ahead, Katie. Grab the mic,
hey.
Girl. Let's get going.
Hey, friend. Thanks for taking the meeting. This is Katie G. I am recovered in compulsive eater in Boston. This case contains a powerful lesson. Most of us have believed that if we remain sober for a long stretch, we could therefore drink normally. But here is a man who at 55 years found he was just where he left off at 30. We have seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in short time as bad as ever. If we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that somehow, someday, we will be immune to alcohol. So yeah, I looked up the word lurking, and it means to remain hidden, so as in wait to ambush someone or something. And reservation means doubt or qualm. So yeah, I wanted to eat and be emaciated my whole life. And I thought erroneously that if I just put down the food, that I would be okay. Sorry, I have to shift. That I would be okay. And I didn't realize that the disease is not treated by abstinence. Abstinence is the first step in recovery. But the thing is, if I go, I have to treat my mind, right? Because my mind will have these lurking notions. And I have to say, I've been in OA for 20 years, and I've had a lot of lurking notions. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I have put down food and then picked up gum and diet soda. And the lie is, oh, I'm just going to have one. And the next thing you know, I'm filling up my cart like a junkie at a grocery store. Or, oh, I put the flour and sugar down, so I'm not going to weigh and measure. Or, oh, I put the flour and sugar down, so I'm going to fast. Or, oh, I put the flour and sugar down, so I'm going to exercise bulimically or get on the scale, all in an attempt to control total delusion that my disease is different, right? And I have given up my right to eat compulsively. I have given up my right to eat certain ingredients and follow. If somebody could please mute, there's a lot of background noise, I've given up my right to not be abstinent. And so, you know, today as a recovered woman, I have to ask myself, and there's still a lot of background noise, I have to ask myself, what are my lurking notions? Like, so for example, what I mean is like my character defect. So my mom is sick and has asked me not to intervene in her medical life. And I have intervened. I've gone and done that. And the thing is, I'm like, oh, well, any good daughter would intervene. But the thing is, that's not me. I'm going in there because I want to fix, I want to manage and control. And I have a disease. I will never be immune to my desire to fix, manage, and control my life. And so, therefore, I have to take a step back if I want sanity. So I think, despite all the background noise, I am going to sign off. But I think the most important thing that I remember is that I am never going to change. I am never going to become a woman who can ingest certain ingredients or follow certain behaviors. But with God and one day at a time, I can stay immune and I can have a relationship with God that absolutely changes my life. Sorry for the disruption. Thanks.
No worries, Katie G. Thank you so much. Okay, before we get started, I'm going to reset my timer, and I'm just going to remind everyone, friendly reminder, that although we love hearing from you and your experience, strength, and hope, we ask that if you'd shared on any Vision for You OA meeting in the last couple of days, namely Tuesday or Wednesday, if you could please step aside and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope so we can hear from everybody. Okay, so who would like to share what was read? I need your first name, initial and last name, and your state. Okay, Harlan, gotcha.
Reva P.
Reva.
Kelly F.
Kelly.
Gloria K. from South Florida.
Gloria.
Helene
K.
L.
Helene. L.
Melanie P.
Elena C.
P. Elena. I think we're going to stop with that. Elena C. Yeah. Okay, great. All right. That's a great lineup. We've got Harlan G., Reva P., Kelly S., Gloria K. I think it was Gloria. Helene. L, Melanie P, and Elena C. All right, Harlan, you're up. Please go
Thanks,
ahead.
Amy. Thanks, Amy. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I was lied to. I was lied to by doctors. I was lied to by adults. I was lied to by anybody that could lie to me. And here's the lie that they told me. They said, little boy, if you just push yourself away from the table and lose weight, everything in the world will be okay. And that is not what I found. As Katie G. so eloquently said, abstinence does not treat the disease. A thinner body does not treat the disease. And I thought it would because everybody told me that it would. I am a believer after 45 years in these rooms that compulsive overeating is a spectrum disorder that we are affected identically with the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind, but we are not affected equally. Now, why is that important to bring up? Because I have learned the hard way that I must work well beyond my level of effect. What does that mean? It means I have to keep outworking the destructive, progressive nature of this disease. And the disease keeps coming. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. No, I don't find that for me. I find that I'm worse than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps getting worse and worse mm-hmm. and worse. If it stayed as bad as ever, it wouldn't be the most terrible thing in the world. My disease keeps progressing, and so my effort must be progressing. I cannot settle in to sponsoring the same 4 or 5 people. I cannot settle in to keep going to the same meetings and doing the same thing again and again. That is a one-way ticket to Chips Ahoyville for me. I have to keep doing more and more and more. Now, there is something else I want to mention today. Today is a very special day for me because I believe that A Vision for You is the renaissance of OA. I have been here for a long time, and I believe that A Vision for You is one of the most special, one of the most recovered meetings I have ever been to in my entire life. And it is on this date in 2012, just 12 years ago, that A Vision for You first started. And I thank God for A Vision for You every day. It's 4 o'clock in the morning here, 4:15 in the morning here in Arizona, and I get up happily because I wouldn't dare miss a meeting. I love A Vision for You. I thank God every day for it, and I thank God for every one of you for attending every day. You are all my teachers. I hope that A Vision for You will last forever, and I hope that the people who founded it, Melanie, Leah, I also want to thank Amy G. I want to thank Katie F. I want to thank all the people instrumental for its propagation, for the people who do the service. Sorry, and with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Harlan. Thank you for your service and happy anniversary. Yes, happy anniversary to A Vision for You. Just 12 short years. Here's to many, many more. Awesome. Okay, Reva P., you're up, followed by Kelly S.
Hi, this is Lisa B.
Good morning.
Was it Lisa? I thought it was
yeah.
Reva.
No, it's Lisa, LISAB, like Bravo, from Colorado.
Okay.
Oh, it was also Reva P.
Oh, Reva, you were actually in there. I thought I heard your voice. Okay, Lisa,
yes.
I'm going to put you down here at the bottom. I did not hear you, Lisa. So.
Okay, thank you.
Reva, that's fine. And then Reva, please go ahead.
Okay, reset my timer. Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. When I first came into OA, I thought food was the problem. I didn't realize it was the symptom of a much greater problem. And I really did think that I would be out of here in 6 months. This was like a program or course. I would learn how to, quote, get control of my food. And then I'd go out and I could have one of this and two of that. And, you know, I can read this sentence, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I can hear people share about this sentence. But what I've learned over the years is my mind will take me back to the substance if I don't treat it with the way it's outlined in this book. So knowing this and reading this paragraph, doesn't help me, because lack of knowledge is not my problem. It's that lack of power. And I've seen, you know, it's not so easy to get into program or come here. It's like the last house on the block, but it seems like it's even harder to stay here because my mind, lurking notions and reservations are about my thinking. And I think for me, the disease really shows itself when I'm abstinent. Then I really see the ism of this disease. So yeah, like we've heard the past few days, not only does the disease not get better with time, it's progressing and it gets worse. And it's not about the abstinence only, it's about treating the mind and my spiritual malady. And you know what? The obsession of the mind, the twist of the mind, also doesn't go away with one round of the steps 1 through 9 or 10. Like it's constantly limitless expansion. If I'm not growing and I'm not developing spiritually, I cannot stay recovered on last month's inventory work. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. It's like God is gently pushing me from behind to constantly go deeper in my relationship and my trust, in my spiritual development. And you know what? Maybe in a way it's a good thing I didn't know that at the beginning, because I don't know. It would have scared the hell out of me. But yeah, the longer I practice, the more I see how limitless this is. And you know what? As deep as the disease goes, that's God goes even deeper. So God matches the progression and gives me the ability to enjoy and be free. This is not white-knuckled abstinence. This is freedom from compulsive overeating. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. Reva P. from Toronto. And that was Harlan G. before from Arizona. So okie doke, we're moving along here. Kelly S., you're up, followed by Gloria K. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, Amy, thank you so much for your service. This is Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater in bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Great shares. I just wanted to really share about my experience with this whole idea of no reservation of any kind, no lurking notion. You know, you guys know I've grown up in these rooms. I've been in here for 41 years, and I'm not blaming OA for this message, but the message I would hear what people would say years ago, can you just not eat cake today? I mean, you can have cake tomorrow, but could you just not eat cake today? It's just one day at a time. Remember that? You know, just for today. And what I found, you know, and that's what I heard. I don't know what was being said, but I would hear that a lot. And I probably even said that to people, just for today, you know, tomorrow you could have cookies, right? And I realized I can't ever be able to have cookies or cake or my extra bites or my extra handful of whatever, tomatoes, ever again. Makes it clear. Of course, we never studied the big book like we do today, and I didn't understand, concede to my innermost self that I am this distinct entity, right? And so, you know, just a little over 2 years ago when I relapsed, you know, this whole idea, a little bit won't matter, right? It's been 2 years, you know, I'm recovered, things are going well. I'm on vacation, right, with my family. It's just a handful of veggie straws. I mean, can't you count those some way, right? It's just a handful of veggie straws. So I pop a handful of veggie straws in with my family because I'm busy and I'm fixing food for all the grandkids, right? And I just want to tell you guys, that was Friday night. And by Sunday, well, before Sunday, let me just tell you the truth, Saturday, I was filling my pockets literally with bite-sized brownies and going in the bathroom and shoving them in my mouth between all the family activities, including my grandkids wanting to sit on my lap. And all I cared about was the food. And I will always be different. I can't have extra bites. Of course, I can't have veggie straws, but anything, right? Anything. I will always have this physical allergy. I'm a distinct entity. And that lurking notion, like has been shared beautifully, that's mental obsession. And that's what these steps are going to do. That's what the steps get me to this relationship with God. So I won't get into that crazy thinking that this time it will be different. A little bit won't matter. Maybe just for today, I'll get right back on, right? I've been doing this for so long. I know better. I don't know better. My disease will take over and kill me, and it does every time in a very short time. And like was shared, I'm always worse than ever, and it's so scary. So I have to do more. It doesn't matter how long, and contingent on this maintenance of my spiritual condition, I have to continue working the steps, working with others, connection with God, and keeping the food down. And that's what just for today is. Just for today, I can live this life just one day at a time. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much, Kelly S. Kelly, I just completely spaced where you're from. Can you give me the state again?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's it. All right, Kelly from Oklahoma. All right, Gloria K., you are up. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Gloria K. from South Florida, a recovered compulsive overeater, been around the rooms 37 years, have not always been abstinent, but I've been in the program, I never left, and it's a way of life for me, and it's everything. And a few months ago, I was going through a very difficult stage, and I for some reason, everyone was saying, you can have this, you can have that, because you're too thin. You have to gain some weight, you know, and I've never been too thin. I've just been the compulsive overeater since the time I was born. Well, maybe, yeah, I am. Anyway, all I wanted to do is say thank you to everyone who's on, and I get so much from this meeting. And that's all I have for today. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Gloria, from South Florida. Okay, Gloria K. Next up is Helene L. Helene L., are you there? It's your turn.
Yep, I'm here. I'm from New York. So I'm 50 years abstinent away from compulsive overeating. And it is a disease of physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And it is a mental disorder as well. So I have to really take care of myself each day and really reach down deep to a higher energy that runs through me. The difference, I wrote a book anonymously when I first came into program years ago. And the difference between a day when I was into the food and a day when I'm using food to fuel my body, and that's basically it, is that I realize what my purpose is, and my purpose is to be of service. And it's not only service to people in program, it's service to everyone. I mean, this world is in a very crazy place these days. And just that kind of grounding of what's true and what isn't true. And the big book is wonderful. It's very much needed for people in program and people all over right now. So that's what I have to remember. And I am precise about what I eat. Discipline, I hated discipline when I came into the program. I just hated it. It felt like an authority figure or something. But discipline is my friend. If I can eat square meals a day and nothing more or less because I feel emotionally charged or anything, then that allows me to be present to what's needed around me. So I've listened to this meeting forever. I haven't made myself known a lot, but I've been listening for years. And it really substituted with when COVID and I couldn't get out to physical meetings. So thank you for your passion, folks, because I really hear it. It's like, I love that part. I think it's in the big book or the 12 and 12, where it says, the second step, we're on the beaches of Salerno in World War II. That's what I feel like it is, you know, the commitment and the passion that I hear so many of you having. Thank you.
Well, we are glad to hear you, Helene. That's Helene from New York. Okay, Melanie P., you are up.
Hi, my name is Melanie P. I'm from Montreal, Canada. I'm recovered and just for today. This paragraph telling me that, and I did it. I thought I was cured after a long time of a period of abstinence from sugar. I had it. So I could take only one bite, just a little bit tiny bite, and then I get back on relapse for 15 years. I don't know, 15 or 20 years. So today I know I'm not cured. And my problem is not only sugar. It's more than that. It's sugar, it's behavior, it's other things. And I'm never going to be cured. I just need to work this program like my hair is on fire. And sometimes, you know, I don't want to do it. Like this morning, I didn't want to wake up early and take time with my higher power. But what other choice I have? I don't have other choice. I need to have this connection strongly just to live my day, just for today. And I'm in my backyard right now. I'm looking for the birds, and I feel connected to my higher power. And I know it's going to be okay. I just have to not pick up my allergy food and work my program just for today, just for this minute. And thank you guys for this, all the service you do and for this meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie P. from Montreal, Canada. And before we move on to Elena and Lisa B., just to remind folks where we are. We are on page 33 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on the first paragraph that starts with, "This case contains a powerful lesson," unpacking that one paragraph only. Okay, Elena, your turn. Please go ahead.
Good morning, moderator. Good morning, brothers and sisters in recovery. My name is Elena C., recovered in South Carolina. What a beautiful paragraph. Awesome, awesome comments. Thank you so much. I also wake up with joy to listen to your voices. So I was struck by the phrase, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. It is so clear that this disease is fatal, permanent, and pervasive and progressive, right? It's progressive. And I say it's pervasive because it's not only at the physical level. It's not only about the body, it's about the mind, but more so, it's about the spirit. So, you know, to me, this disease is a disease of the spirit. And what does that mean? It means that if I did not have recovery, I would have continued to believe that I'm at the center of the universe, that I'm in the center of your universe, that I know what to do, you know, that I don't need necessarily new people to make suggestions, you know. And it's about, you know, my being alone. It was about my being alone. And I had no idea. And, you know, this disease can only be conquered by a power greater than myself. It's not about the food. It's even not about the mind. I cannot treat my mind, my sick mind, with my sick mind. I need something and someone beyond of myself, beyond my wildest dream. You know, and that something and someone beyond my wildest dream came to me because I was willing. You know, and it says, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once disconnected from God, and not willing to let God in my life, always disconnected from God. And I am then doomed to fail myself. I've been failing myself. I used to, not anymore, thank you, God. You know, but I used to fail myself, fail other people, fail my relationships, and sabotage my life because I did not have God. I did not have God. The lurking notion in the back of my mind was that, oh, my God, I can conquer everything that I put my mind. Sick was that thought, you know. No, I can't. I will never be able to do that. I will be killing myself. So, you know, the disease is killing the mind, the body is killing the mind, but it's killing our spirit. And we do need God in all that we do. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. All right, Lisa B., and then we're going to take some names. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you so much. This is Lisa B. from Denver, Colorado. So I was just writing. I'm a writer, and I wrote, addiction is like entering a sealed room that is being pumped with toxic fumes. Recovery is the miracle of stepping out via God's guidance. Picking up is like entering that disgusting and dangerous, life-threatening room again. This time the toxic fumes are more potent, the smoke is thicker, more concentrated. We dig and fall into a deeper hole. The suffering expands and grows. It just keeps getting worse. The fumes are worse, yet addictive. And that perfectly describes and was inspired by this reading this morning. It doesn't matter what addiction I pick. It's like that room that, I'm a recovering drug addict too. And that disease acted the same as the food addiction in that when I picked back up on a relapse, almost immediately, I was in the hospital with a panic attack. And I never thought that would ever happen. And it just, the insanity and the ruthlessness and the good news that God loves us so much that he can pull us out of that pit of despair. By God's grace, we can live one day at a time in recovery. Not cured, because if the second I think I've got this is the second I start slipping back into the relapse, and then it's like the Grand Canyon where you start slipping and then you're at the edge and you just fall on your ass. So with that, I'm in. Thank you everyone for being here.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from Denver, Colorado. Okay, so we're going to take some more names. Again, we're on page 33 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. First paragraph, this case contains a powerful lesson. So who would like to share on what was read?
Penny.
No, I didn't get anybody. I think I heard Penny C.
Anita
Lisa
J.
B.
Anita.
Troy
Anita
C.
J.
Michelle
Lisa
M.
Lisa.
Okay, hold on a sec. I think I got Penny C, Anita J. There was a guy in there. I missed who. Who is that?
Troy C.
Trey?
Jane.
Troy.
Troy. Troy C. Okay, who else?
Lisa Jane S.
Okay, so Lisa B. Another Lisa B. And
Jane F.
Was that the Jane? Jane F. That's who came in with Lisa. Okay, so Jane F. So I have Penny C, I think, Anita J, Troy C, Lisa B, Jane F. I think I can take room for one or two more. Anybody else I missed? Was that everybody?
In New York.
Jan?
Deanne, Amy.
Deanne
F in New York. Yep.
All right, Deanne F in New York. All right, let's go with that and see what we have left. Okay, Penny C, you're up. Yeah, I wasn't sure about that. Okay. No Penny C. All right, Anita J, you're up, followed by Troy C. Go ahead, Anita.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I didn't know that I got muted.
Oh, okay. So, Anita, hold the dough. Hold the dough. Penny, it's your turn. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I started with saying thank you, Amy, for moderating. And I am Penny C, recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. One of my very first meetings many, many years ago, I heard a woman speak, and she said, you know, She held up the big book and she said, you know, this book is filled with directions, promises, and warnings. And I really always remember that warnings. And here's one, a blatant warning that no matter how long I've been free of compulsive overeating, that at any time, if I don't keep in fit spiritual condition and attend meetings and speak to a sponsor, that I could pick up. I'm reading this commencing to drink after a period of sobriety. We are in a short time as bad as ever. From what I've heard from others who have gone out after many, many years of abstinence and recovery, that not only are they as bad as ever, they're worse because this is a progressive disease. If we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, not even lurking notion that someday we will be immune to alcohol, and for us, we will be immune to food disorders. And I know that one of the worst psychological places for me to be in is complacency. And over the years, at least a few occasions, I've gotten the idea, well, maybe I could just have one. And because I do what I do and study the steps every day on this meeting and on other meetings, and because I go to my higher power, I don't have that idea that I can pick up just one any more than a minute or seconds, and it goes for me. And so I really, really take this paragraph personally, that no matter how long, people say, oh, how long? And when I tell them how many years I've been abstinent, they'll go, wow. But you know what? It really, really is only for today. And I must stay in contact with other compulsive overeaters, help others, and most importantly, as I said, continue to improve my conscious contact with God. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. from Boston, Mass. Okay, Anita J., now you're up, followed by Troy C. Please go ahead, Anita.
Oh, thank you very much, Amy. This is Anita J., recovered west of Boston. This is telling a story of a little girl who couldn't control her surroundings, even though she tried. But what she could control was how she felt. She found that out at a young age, that by putting particularly sweet things into her mouth, she didn't care anymore about the alcoholic, nutsy poor woman mother, the powerless father. He didn't know what end was up. And everybody felt so sorry for that little girl. They fed her. And I felt good. That is the story of what I learned for coping. All the years when maybe you did that, most of us learned other ways to cope. You know, we took bubble baths, we made phone calls, we shared things. It just all those other things I had to learn at a later in life. And thank you, God, that we are able to do it. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 1978, but I never understood that you can't have one. You just can't have one. Not until February 4th, 2014, when I finally learned through insane thinking that I could hate one peanut. Who the heck could do that? Nobody can do that. Anyway, it doesn't matter what anyone else can do. I have learned it. And it took what it took, and it's okay. I'm especially needed now in this independent living place where everybody has some kind of ice cream every bloody night. And now it looks like, I don't know, it doesn't look like anything. Cake looks like cardboard. That's only because I'm on this line every day. I have my other meetings, and I have people in my life that I've tried to sponsor and be sponsored. And I'm just a grateful human being. It doesn't matter. The freedom I feel, you can't feel that. The bonds are off, the chains. But they're there waiting. They're not thrown away. They're there. And I thank you all very much. I get so much out of this meeting. This is one of the spiritual things I do, is listen to this meeting. And with that, I pass.
All righty. Thank you so much, Anita J. from western side of Boston, Massachusetts. Okay. Troy C., followed by Lisa B. Go ahead, Troy. Troy, press star one, please.
All right. Can I be heard?
I can hear you just fine.
Thanks. Thanks so much. It's Troy C., from South Florida, Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much for everybody doing service on the meeting. Thank you, moderator. Yeah, this is a powerful little paragraph, as most of them are. I think the first time that I read this many years ago in another fellowship, I was under the impression that this, even though we've heard over and over again that self-knowledge is not going to do the deal, that this particular bit of self-knowledge is getting me from alcoholism, from my compulsive overeating. But I've got to really believe it deep down. And if I do, if I really lock this thing in, if I concede it to my innermost self and I smash the idea that somehow someday I can eat Costco pizza, then I'll be okay. And this may be obvious to everybody else on the meeting, but to me, it's only just becoming, I'm still working on that recovered compulsive overeater part. Reading my fifth step right now. And it's only now really becoming obvious to me that conceding this to my innermost self, that smashing this idea that somehow, someday, I'm going to be able to, you know, eat McDonald's or whatever, this is to propel me to pursue a relationship with my higher power, to abandon myself to God as I understand God, as I'm sure we'll read about many weeks and months from now. Because otherwise, if I've got in the back of my mind that eventually I'm going to be okay, eventually I can go back to the food, I'm going to have a foot out the door when I'm praying and seeking that relationship, when I'm doing the step work, you know, when I'm sure going to go and make amends soon if I continue with the work. So for me, and again, this might be obvious to everybody else on the line, but it's a new and novel idea to me. For me, the reason I really have to meditate on this concept and really deep down believe that food is never going to be an option, it's not because having that idea really locked in is going to itself defend me from the food. I will have some insanely trivial excuse to eat donuts. No matter how much I believe in this moment that I can never do it, the next moment is up for grabs. The reason I have to really concede this to my innermost self, that I have to smash this idea I could ever do the thing, is to propel me to pursue the relationship with my higher power. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Troy C. from Florida. Okay, we've got Lisa B. followed by Jane F. I don't know, Deanne, we may not have time for you, but hang in there. Maybe you can share on the second hour. All right, Lisa, please go ahead.
This is Lisa B., compulsive overeater, recovered in Michigan. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Great. Thank you for your service. The shares today are just hit me right where I need to be hit. when I was hearing that, what I thought was, or what I've thought in the past and what came to me was that I've always thought to myself, well, I'm not that bad. You know, I'm not as bad as some of those other people, you know. And and haven't been able to tell myself, oh, well, I will never eat those things again. You know, I would tell myself, just like I do with other programs, I won't do it for today. But I'm not white knuckling either. I just put it on a shelf and say, well, maybe someday, you know, I'll be able to do that. I don't think so. But, you know, you never know what science is going to do. So I tell myself just for today, and I stay focused on recovery and service and God. And I never, never want anything to get between me and my higher power or take me back to the horror of the disease. And that's part of the reason why I need to be on this meeting on a regular basis and connected with my fellows, is to hear the things that I need to hear to combat the insanity that's in my head sometimes about the disease and food. Because left to my own devices, I'm hit. Yeah, I think that's all I have for today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from Michigan. Okay, Jane F., if you do like 2.5, we can get Deanne in there, like split it, you know what I mean? All right, go ahead, Jane, you're up.
Yes, good morning. My name is Jane F., as in Sam, and I'm from New Hampshire, and I am just grateful that God has brought me once again back here to Vision for You. I am so grateful to be back. This is where I hear God loud and clear. And thank you for everyone's share and service every single day. I think what stuck out to me this morning that I'm hearing is that this case contains a powerful lesson. And for me, God has continued for the last 15 and a half years to teach me one day at a time powerful lessons. And, you know, it says here that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I get that. I am an alcoholic. And I say I'm in recovery. but I'll tell you the truth. I've been working in AA program for years, or in our parent, our sister program. And I've been in and out of OA for 15 and a half years. And I've gained some food neutrality. I've gained some knowledge, not really knowledge, maybe just some understanding of how powerless I truly am. And the food and the disease has gotten so loud this last time out, 2.5 years away. Life got good. I went through the steps. I had a beautiful sponsor. I had a great food plan, all that stuff. It doesn't matter. It's not about the weight. I came back this time. It's the desperation. And it's the realization that I really wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. I've been playing God. And I need to stop playing God one day at a time and learn what that looks like in my life. And, you know, I thought everybody talking about working the steps with their hair on fire, I thought you guys are just over the top. You know, I'm not, and this disease is not going to kill me if I eat one ice cream cone, you know. But, yeah, it does. Over and over, I've tried it. It does not work. God has whispered to me, as the disease has been yelling, God's whispered to me and brought me around full circle back here and back to the group who I thought was over the top. And all I can do now is I'm so excited. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm doing my work. I'm in my step work, and it's beautiful. It's so different this time. It's a new experience. And I'm just grateful. I hope that I will be able to continue here and then become, as I become closer to God, learn how He wants me to be of service and self-sacrifice to everyone in my life. And I can't thank you all for everything you share and how we all live together as a family. I'm forever grateful, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Jane F. from New Hampshire. And we are glad you are back. Awesome. All right, so Deanne F. from New York, you have got about 1:20. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much, Amy. It was like waiting on pins and needles. This is Deanne F. in New York, and I am gratefully recovered for this day, and that's because of God. That is not because of me. I mean, I do my part. I cooperate. I show up. But God wakes me up. I don't wake myself up. God does that. So I'm reminded every morning that if God wakes me up, I'm waking up as an untreated addict. And that's
the case, that's the powerful lesson that's in this paragraph, is that every day that I wake up, I am waking up as an untreated addict. If I wake up thinking that I'm recovered, I could have these delusions that, you know, I could pick something up after some time has passed. And this has been reinforced to me over and over and over again after, again, almost, you know, 35 years in this program, that it still is one day at a time with humility and God's grace and my acceptance of the disease that I have. So I want to say thank you to everybody who does service on this meeting. Thank you to this meeting. What an incredible miracle. Thank you, guys. I love you. Have a great day. I'm out.
All righty. Perfect timing. Deanne F. from New York. What a great meeting, everyone. And again, happy anniversary to Vision for You. So awesome. Such a blessing. Okay. So thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following. The share ID for today, Thursday, July 18, 2024, 7 a.m. Meeting is 21,584. That's 21584. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Joni Y., will you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. This is Joni Y., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Connecticut. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.